Good morning, everyone. My name is Marie English, and I'm from the University of Tennessee. I'm also part of the 5-year study on the performance of biodegradable plastic mulches. And today I will be discussing how BDMs affect one aspect of soil quality, soil carbon cycling. As you've heard, agricultural mulches made from polyethylene, or PE, provide many benefits to the soil for growers, such as increasing the temperature of the soil, they enhance the moisture retention, as well as preventing weeds. However, they lead to a lot of waste. Due to contamination from pesticides and soil, these plastics cannot be recycled at this time. A solution to this problem is the use of biodegradable plastic mulches, or BDMs. These materials have been developed for many years. They are made from polymers that are degraded by microbes and enzymes that naturally occur in the soil, and they can be tilled into the soil at the end of the season. Currently, we don't know much about the impacts on soil quality from the use of these mulches, and growers are hesitant to adopt this until they know more about their impact on soil quality, as Susan was talking about. So for my part of the project, I'm looking at one aspect of soil quality, soil carbon cycling, and how BDMs affect that cycling. Soil carbon is very important to soil health because it provides food for most of the soil organisms. As they consume soil carbon, they release nutrients that are important for plant growth. Soil carbon also acts as a pH buffer, as well as in enhancing the moisture retention of the soil. So my research questions are about how BDMs affect soil carbon cycling. Part of this is, does that microclimate that's created by the biodegradable plastic mulches, does that affect carbon cycling? And if we do see changes or trends, do these hold up across different locations? To answer these questions, we looked at 4 different BDMs in 2 locations and monitored changes in carbon pools over 2 years. In the field, we have 7 different treatments, and 4 reps of each treatment. Our controls include no mulch, polyethylene, which is a negative control, and that is non-biodegradable and not tilled into the soil. And then we have a positive control, a positive cellulosic control, that is 100% biodegradable. These are compared to 4 different BDMs. 3 are commercially available, 2 that are starch polyester blends, 1's a PLA PBAT blend, and 1 is an experimental PLA PHA blend. We are looking at, we have this study site replicated in 2 different locations to look at how differences in climate affect carbon cycling as well as the performance of these mulches. Tennessee has a mean daily annual temperature 4 degrees Celsius higher than Washington, as well as receives 500 millimeters more precipitation. So the first part of this study was to look at how the mulches affect the soil on which they are overlain. We have soil moisture and temperature sensors in all treatments for 1 rep at 10 centimeters depth to look at the microclimate that's created by these mulches. Here are the results from our moisture sensors for both growing seasons, 2015 on top and 2016 on the bottom, and in both locations. No mulch is in blue, polyethylene is in black, and then all of the BDMs are a different shade of orange because for this presentation, we want to look at the comparison between the biodegradable mulches and how those act compared to our controls, no mulch and polyethylene. So volumetric water content is on the y-axis, and then date is on the x-axis. And we see that polyethylene holds the most moisture in Tennessee in both seasons. And this would be expected because in the warmer climate of Tennessee, we're going to get more evaporation. So it's more likely that we would see the effect of the moisture retaining properties of that mulch there. Here are the results from our soil temperature sensors, and this is the same layout as the previous slide, but this time with temperature on the y-axis. And we see that polyethylene has a warming effect because all of the graphs, the black line, is generally higher. We see this warming effect more evident in Washington, which we would expect because it has a cooler climate. And you can see that black line is a little bit higher than the other treatments. Soil moisture and temperature have a large effect on soil carbon cycling because many of the mechanisms that control and drive the decomposition of soil organic matter are temperature and moisture dependent. So to monitor the changes in carbon cycling, we looked at these different pools for 2 years, and these changes are possibly from that microclimate created by the mulches. We looked at our inputs, which are plant residues as well as mulch residues, and these are decomposed into different storage pools, two slower turnover pools that include total carbon as well as permanganate oxidizable carbon, and then two faster turnover pools, microbial biomass carbon and extractable organic carbon. These storage pools are then respired into CO2 during mineralization. So first we looked at inputs and we asked, is this mulch that we're adding to the soil a large addition of carbon? And using the carbon content of the mulch that we measured, we were able to calculate how much mulch carbon is tilled into the soil each year. We then compared this to the amount of carbon coming from crop residues, and we see that the amount of carbon from our mulches is pretty small, significantly smaller compared to the amount coming from our crop residues. So therefore, we will be focusing on the microclimate and how that affects soil carbon cycling instead of on this small addition of carbon. So for our storage pools, we start with total carbon and see if there's any indications of differences in treatments in our total carbon before looking at the pools that make up this larger pool. This is a graph of the change in carbon over 2 years. So zero would indicate no change over the 2 years. Each bar is a mean of 4 reps, and the means have been adjusted using a mixed model analysis. Even though the differences are small because units are micrograms carbon per gram dry soil, we don't see much agreement between Tennessee and Washington. However, one trend that does occur in both locations is that the no mulch treatment appears to gain more carbon compared to the polyethylene treatment. And in Washington, although not statistically significant, in Washington, we see that the no mulch treatment loses less carbon than the polyethylene treatment. And the BDMs fall between the spectrum of these two controls. Next, we looked at a more sensitive pool of carbon, permanganate oxidizable carbon. It has a residence time of 2 to 5 years and is more sensitive to changes in management. Papers have shown that TOC and POXC are related, and we definitely saw this relationship in our results. Similar to TOC, we see an increase in the no mulch treatment compared to polyethylene in both locations, and the BDMs fall between that spectrum of those two controls. For the faster turnover pools of carbon, we couldn't just look at subtracting spring 2015 from spring 2017 because these values change so much, vary week to week based on environmental factors. So here is a graph of all 5 seasons that we measured with units micrograms extractable organic carbon on the y-axis. And these means are also adjusted using a repeat measures mixed model analysis. And we really don't see much difference between treatments. In general, there's a little bit higher EOC in the fall than in the spring. Microbial biomass carbon represents only about 5% of organic matter, but it plays a key role in soil carbon cycling because it's responsible for mineralizing soil carbon. So we see a big increase or big decrease here in 2016 in Tennessee, and we think this is possibly due to drought conditions that we saw in Tennessee in spring 2016. It looks like the BDMs and the no mulch control have a little bit higher microbial biomass carbon than that polyethylene treatment. You can kind of see the black line is a little bit lower in both of the graphs, although not significant. But we see this trend more clearly in our respiration results. Respiration is a measurement of CO2 evolved over 24 hours, and we use this as an indicator of microbial activity. Polyethylene has the lowest respiration, especially in the fall seasons in Washington. You can see that the black line is a little bit lower there. And then in Tennessee, we see a clear depression of microbial activity in fall 2016. And we hypothesize that this is due to labile carbon being used up throughout that growing season in the summer. So by the fall, we're not measuring as much microbial activity. So in conclusion, we see mulch residues end up being a small addition of carbon compared to crop residues. And the use of BDMs increased TOC, POXC, MBC, and respiration compared to polyethylene. So as far as we know, BDMs are having a less negative effect on the pools of carbon compared to polyethylene. And even though a lot of our results were not statistically significant, we think that they're indicative of longer-term trends and what we might see as the study continues. We did see very different trends across locations. A lot of our treatment differences were due to climate, and so that just shows the importance of studying or the importance of the geography in where these mulches are used. Thank you very much, and I will now take any questions. A great question, and for the total carbon pool, you know, that's predicted. You're not supposed to see changes for 5 to 10 years even. For POXC is being used these days as a more sensitive change, so I think I mentioned like after 2 to 5 years it's been reported that you can see changes due to management, so we were hoping that we would start to see that from our field trials, which I think we did a little bit. But in the lab, we're definitely replicating some of these measurements and doing biodegradation studies and then measuring EOC and some of the pools of carbon associated with the breakdown in the lab, which we can make happen a lot faster and manipulate the temperature. We did a temperature study where we had 10, 20, and 30 degrees. We incubated at those temperatures with soil and mulch, and then we measured the different pools of carbon after a certain amount of time. So, yeah, I think you're right. The lab studies are just as important as the field studies for carbon cycling measurements. Other questions? Thank you. Thank you.